Hello, Alan here with some sad news just before the start of this week's episode. Both Graham and myself were saddened to hear of the passing of Stuart MacDonald. Stuart MacDonald was the director of the first seven series of Robot Wars, as well as both series of Robot Wars Extreme. He was also the voice behind the introductions of those series, so 3, 2, 1, activate and cease. Our thoughts go out to his friends and family at this difficult time. Hey, Alan
And the Chris.
and just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you're going to hear me on the Turn & Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International License. Hello, I'm Alan.
And I'm the Chris.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we continue our footage of Robotica Season 1 with episodes 3 and 4.
Indeed we do, Alan. Indeed we do.
And my first note for episode 3 is Robotica learned quicker than Robot Wars how to protect its fans.
Yes. Yep, because they bring up the big plexiglass sort of stadium that they have protecting their fans.
I do love the studio setup. It's this almost a sort of amphitheater with several pods around. It kind of looks a mixture of organic and mechanical, and I love it.
Organical.
Yes.
Nice.
One thing I don't love is the pronunciation of one of the robots that we're going to cover first for the Speedway.
Interesting first. It's Wendigo.
No, it's not. It's Wendigo.
Wendigo.
No, right. The Wendigo is an established monster with a mythology. It's Wendigo.
Wendigo.
One other thing, because they actually do cover this. Now, I don't know the exact origins of this because I don't know Native American mythology. My understanding is Wendigos are creatures that are human beings who result to cannibalism and become monstrous creatures. That's, for instance, that's what ends up happening in Until Dawn, the video game series. It's heavily hinted at that the Wendigo is behind the events of Pet Sematary as well, which is why in the remake that came out a couple of years ago, there's hints of a humanoid figure with antlers.
Interesting. But this is a robot called Wendigo.
Wendigo.
And his opponent, Idroid.
Oh, I should have said, Wendigo is an invertible robot with forklifts. It's basically Vlad the Impaler tried to be an invertible robot. Idroid.
Is yeah, Wendigo is what going back to the wrestling convention is what happens when Robert the Bruce and King Buxton have too much to drink and they go back to their hotel room.
So what happens with Idroid? Idroid is this lump of robot which has pitchfork that's set up like an axe for some reason. It's very Robot Wars Series 1.
Yes. You know, see, when I first seen iDroid, I kind of looked at it and went, man, that does look like the father of the Prince of Darkness.
Yes.
Don't know who the mother is, but definitely. Or maybe Prince of Darkness was the father, because that came first.
So, yes. This race is...
Oh, this is just bullying.
So what happens is, when Wendigo is fast but awkward steering, iDroid is very slow. The issue that iDroid has is, every single time the two of them clash, Wendigo blasts it away.
Oh yeah. Like, the first time it comes round was kind of after Wendigo had two on the board, and then just bumps iDroid, like, even so slightly, and the whole thing just goes right in the opposite direction, and then it just kind of is looking about like there's little Tweety birds flying about his head, like, what the hell happened there?
And what does happen is, Wendigo impales or damages one of the wheels of iDroid, and then it's just, iDroid is sitting in the corner crying, and Wendigo runs out of time to get 7 laps.
Yeah, so the first one kind of takes it out, and it's a bit off kilter. Wendigo comes around for its 3rd lap, and then just goes hell for leather, right in the iDroid's face. It's like, oh, like, not only am I going to hit you really hard, I'm going to push you all the way back to here. Right, okay, that's the nice place for you. You're not in my way. Now let's get going. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And iDroid just kind of sits there in the corner, and it just flaps this little pitchfork, and it's like, this is all I can do.
Yep.
So Wendigo gets 6 laps plus the bonus 20 points for being the victor. That takes it to 80 points as iDroid gets 1 lap and gets 10.
Yes.
So let's introduce the next two competitors.
Yep.
As first, we have Critical Management. I fucked up. It's not critical at all.
It's Crisis Management.
Crisis Management.
Which is pretty much the perfect design for this series. It's a high ground clearance invertible robot. The only thing that is weird is it has a wire cutter on the front.
Yes.
But why?
Maybe it can cut wires inside the robot.
But you need to get inside the robot first.
Ah, shit, we didn't think of that part.
And its opponent.
It's Jawbreaker!
Which, this is definitely not designed with this contest in mind, but is surprisingly effective.
Jesus fucking Christ, is this robot incredibly effective? Oh my god, like... I mean, we will get to, like, Jawbreaker's run. This robot is, like, really incredible for how it's built, as to how it can do a lot of the shit that needs to be done in this type of format.
So this robot, it's an invertible robot with an enormous set of jaws.
Yeah, it's like Stinger if you replace the big... pokey bit with jaws.
Yeah. The jaws just look awesome.
The whole robot looks awesome. I love how it's got like two big eyes on the wheel hubs and the big jaw. It just gives it so much character. Which is like one of the few things that a lot of robots lack in Robotica is character.
And one thing I do love as well is, so this is probably one of the best speedways, because it's two robots that are really close. You've got one that's faster but has steering issues, one that's a lot more in control. Crisis Management should easily have won this race, but twice stops to try and fire a net at Jawbreaker.
And misses both times.
Misses both times. And what ends up happening is Jawbreaker ends up in the lead, gets its final lap, and you almost see the moment it goes, idea! And it grabs Crisis Management and goes, I'm going to stop you doing a lap. And it does, and it wins.
You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere.
And it's brilliant. I really love it.
Character. It's got character.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was so close. It was so close. Was Crisis Management from getting that last lap.
And that's, I mean, it is. It's perfect tactics. Absolutely perfect tactics from Jawbreaker. And it ends up, it's basically Crisis Management creates its own problem.
Yep. Had it not bothered to try and be...
If it hadn't tried to be clever, it would have succeeded.
Uh-huh.
It spent too long trying to be clever.
It's like, look at me, look at this. Bah! Oh, fuck. Well, okay, don't worry, I'll try again. Bah! Well, that didn't work either. Now it just looked like an idiot.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, look, points for effort and trying to make something a little bit out of the ordinary, but, like...
At the same time, yeah.
And I suppose, other than the fate of the finish, this probably would have been the only time that Crisis Management could have really done it. And also, Crisis Management did have a wheel busted while it was going round, so that probably hindered some of its performance as well.
Absolutely. So, we get a look backstage for... And it turns out the reason that iDroid broke down is a fuse went pop. Quite literally went pop. The fuse broke. I mean, that's... As someone who's worked with... I mean, I've worked with glass fuses and I've never seen a fuse pop. It's quite incredible.
How does it work exactly in terms of a fuse popping? Like, what do you think caused it?
I'm assuming it was the impact rather than something blowing up. Because, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I'll be honest, if it was something... If it was that the fuse kind of surged out or anything like that, it would be horrific.
Hmm.
So...
Yeah, because it did die after the impact, so...
Yeah. So, what then ends up happening...
Is the maze.
No, Wendigo did get a slight tire issue. I didn't realise Wendigo is the team behind Frenzy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Patrick Campbell.
Yeah.
It's closer than I... Actually, no, to be fair, it's closer than it had any right to be.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, iDroid barely manages to get to the panels because it had real difficulty getting up the ramp. Wendigo gets finished fairly quickly. It's not that dramatic, I'll be honest.
Yeah, and then Wendigo just goes right up over the ramp and then right down the other side. So it could have potentially started driving back through iDroid's section.
So it's next up in the Gauntlet, Crisis Management versus Jawbreaker. Before that, we go backstage.
Well, Wendigo is up 180 to 45.
55, I think.
55, beg your pardon.
Yeah, because it's 45 points.
Yeah, gained 45 points.
So, we meet JD, stripped him up. He was the guy behind one of the cluster bots in early Robot Wars.
Which one?
I can't remember the name of it now, but it was like three lightweight robots in the middleweight team. I can't remember the name of it, but we did see it fight.
Interesting.
We also find out Crisis Management has done the Season 1 Robot Wars thing of lots of small weapons. So the tiny jaw, the flipper, and the nets.
Yeah.
All of which would be very useful against very small robots it's not fighting.
You want to talk about cluster bots. I think it was last weekend, Norwalk Havoc was on, and it was aired live, and so I just kind of threw it on in the background while I was doing things, and then almost watched the entire near 12-hour feed of it while I was doing other things. There was a clusterbot in that. There was a clusterbot of lightweights that were in like the higher category together. So it was like there was like Smee and then like three other like little clusters, and like they dominated everything. So sometimes like little robots can really like do damage on one bigger robot.
Yeah. What ends up happening with as well is we, as previously, I think it was last week I mentioned, Jawbreaker has one very big design flaw, which, and this is kind of, this is where it becomes clear how important repairability is as a factor in robot combat. Because it's not something that people think about a lot. Well, a lot of people don't think about when watching. Having a robot that's easy to repair is actually as effective as having a robot that's hard to damage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're spending 5-10 minutes to get to the batteries to change them, that's 5-10 minutes if you need to repair the robot you don't have.
Yeah, and we know that it's roughly only about 45 minutes between each event.
Well, they actually say there's 45 minutes repair time.
Yeah, so like, if you're taking 10 minutes off of that 45 just to get the batteries out to change them, that's a lot that you need to kind of worry about. Granted, obviously, Robotica isn't exactly the most damaged or damageable robot sort of combat show in the world, but considering, as we mentioned before, Jawbreaker does return for Robot Wars.
Yeah. Like,
that is maybe where the flaw would be a hell of a lot more impactful.
Absolutely. So, particularly if time was a, say for instance, you actually damaged the battery badly and time was of the essence. That said, I do know that these robots, one of the things that was in the rules, and again, safety, you know, they got their safety right before starting, every robot had to have a kill switch. It was a switch rather than a link, but it was, so I don't know if BattleBots had it or not, but certainly immediately there was safety protocols in place.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least they've got that. May as well be safe.
Which is the most important thing, absolutely.
Of course.
The actual contest itself is very, very close.
Which was interesting the way that Crisis Management was using its front sort of area that had the weapon on it, just kind of move things out of the way, which was an interesting sort of choice. It's like, would you not kind of try and take that off for this event so that you're not maybe damaging your potential weapon?
Absolutely.
But the four-wheeled robot, Crisis Management managed to batter through the obstacles just that bit quicker. And you seen Jawbreaker was at the bottom of the waterfall as Crisis Management comes up, gets through the waterfall, and then stops right under Jawbreaker's waterfall.
Which, so said, yeah.
And that took some time to go off.
So there is that moment where they all just sit and you're like, oh no.
Oh no, it's all covered in water now.
It's all covered in water, and I mean, at least it doesn't take 10 minutes to get to the to get to the battery to make sure it's dry.
Yeah.
So it means that going into the gauntlet, it's 10 points in it.
Crisis Management 140, Jawbreaker 130.
So unsurprisingly, they get the pride match out of the way first.
Of course.
So yes.
Wendigo takes on iDroid in the gauntlet.
And watching this at first, like, oh, you know, Wendigo's got this. It's fine. And then it gets stuck on the concrete blocks, and you just see iDroid quite casually go glass, bricks, cans, bricks,
slab.
Concrete slabs. Oh, that was quite difficult. Oh, hello, yeah. It's a safe.
It pushes the safe out of the way, absolutely no problem.
Yeah, it is. It's just that they're going, oh, it's actually good at something. Excellent.
Yeah, this was the point where I said, fuck it, I'll eat my words. Well done, you fucking iDroid here. Jesus, like, actually dominated this thing.
Absolutely.
It wasn't enough to win because it only got 155 points, whereas Wendigo had 225. So Wendigo advances, but still, like, you know what? iDroid, like, hey, you proved your worth. You won an event.
Absolutely, which is more than some robots do. So we get on to the big one, the real clash, which is Jawbreaker versus Wendigo.
Yep, Jawbreaker versus Crisis Management.
Fuck. Jawbreaker versus Crisis Management, and it's really this is awesome. It's really close. It's really neck and neck, and then you just see this moment where Crisis Management just hits some debris at the wrong angle and gets beached. And you see Jawbreaker like go, oh, okay, this is my chance! And he gets it.
I mean, the kind of way that Jawbreaker is perfect for this sort of thing.
Uh-huh. It's kind of wedged at the front, so it's able to just clear stuff out of the way. Did it open its jaw for the safe?
No, it didn't.
Which is the one thing I'm surprised. I'm surprised they didn't do that, like, open the jaws up and push the safe that way, but oh well.
But, yeah, like, the way that Jawbreaker was just, like, kind of higher ground clearance, it trundled over everything, like, really well. And, I mean, it genuinely did kind of shock us, to be honest, that Jawbreaker done as well at this event as it did. Because I thought, like, it being such a smaller robot, it would have had a lot of trouble with that safe. Nope. Absolutely just pushed out of the way as if there was nothing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we get Wendigo versus Jawbreaker.
There you go.
With Jawbreaker winning, sorry, Jawbreaker won 230 to 200. Jawbreaker very smartly goes, we have one shot. We need to get them in the jaws.
Nah.
So this is a brilliant clash. Wendigo's so desperate to avoid being grabbed. And it just, at one point, Jawbreaker just gets a grip. And there's an awesome shot of Wendigo has its forks up just trying to keep the jaw open.
Yeah, it's just the best shot was like right at the start when the two of them are sitting there and it's just ready for the robots activate. And then you just see Jawbreaker just slowly just go and open its jaws. And it's like,
yeah.
So it starts with the jaws open and ready for it.
And
again, going back to what I just said a few minutes ago, the fact that like Jawbreaker looks like it has so much more pushing power than Wendigo, considering
which is
the fact.
Bizarre, considering it's a two-wheel drive robot.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's so much like power behind that, and then when the rails drop, Jawbreaker with the push, both of them take the plunge, but Jawbreaker obviously was the one instigating the push.
And it's basically Wendigo lands first, and it is slightly kamikaze.
It kind of is. It almost looks like an old school Royal Rumble where they both went over at the same time. But it's like, yeah, well, you know, fucking Jawbreaker. Jawbreaker was doing everything there. There was nothing from Wendigo.
Absolutely. So that is the end of episode 3. Jawbreaker is. Episode 3. Jawbreaker is the first of the robots that's kind of, it's more weapon than
box.
The box, exactly. So it's awesome.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Techno X with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. We'll get on to episode 4, and we have an old friend over!
Yeah!
Yeah, I didn't realise he did this.
Neither did I. I thought that was quite bizarre.
It's such a shame that the editing doesn't like him for some reason. The editor keeps on trying to make this team the bad guys, and it's annoying.
Do tell. Well, obviously as we get to it,
It's more in its later appearances, spoiler alert. In the grand final, they basically make out this team to be villains. And they're not.
Can't say that, I noticed that, but...
So anyway,
you know, friend of the show, Andrew Lindsay, is here with his robot, Ramforce.
Now, it's interesting because this team, it's a team... Somebody's going to put Ground Force. So, the team itself is... Team Force appears in... It appears in BattleBots, I believe. It's kind of appeared here and there. Andrew Lindsay doesn't generally tend to be part of their team. Their uniforms are very familiar.
Yep.
Which is weird, because I'm going... At first I was going, I thought Team Y actually didn't do Robotica.
Yeah, that was my thought as well, was like, wait, was Andrew Lindsay technically a part of Team Waiachi?
And then I look up, oh no, it's definitely a different team.
Must have just been a sale day on t-shirts, or shirts.
Yeah, I mean, bowling, it's a good shirt look.
But the fact that... You know, why actually are still rocking those shirts today?
Tells you how good it looks.
Yeah. I mean, they are awesome shirts, and I would love to have one.
The robot itself is a silver box with an enormous wedge plow on the front. It is very shiny. I like it.
Again, it's one of these kind of things where it's like... you know, like we talk about like basic robots and all that. Again... Basicness sometimes, especially in this competition, absolutely perfect. And you can't argue with the results.
Absolutely. So, its opponent.
Its opponent is, don't touch me, it's Hands Off.
This isn't even season one. This is 94 Robot Wars.
Wee woo, wee woo.
It's a Henry Hoover painted to look like a police car with a spinning blade at the top, far too high to be of any use at all.
Yep.
It looks like the sort of robot you designed when you were 5.
And the kind of robots that I designed when I was 5 had about 18 weapons on it.
So... Oh boy, this is a massacre.
The whole thing.
So Ram Force is the... If Ram Force had not collided with Hands Off a couple of times, they would have got to 80. They would have got the 8 laps.
Yeah.
And it is, watching them, it is, it's, you're sitting there going, this is a team that's prepared, this is a team that's done this properly.
Oh, well, yeah, they were so prepared that in the aftermath, they spoke to the team and they were like, yeah, we actually built a figure of eight in our warehouse and we planned it and we've been driving it and we worked out that we could easily make the 8 laps in 2 minutes. And I said, yeah, sure, like, you know, when you're on your own, you easily could make 8 laps in 2 minutes, but I suppose when another robot tries to get in your way,
it
might hinder that slightly, but they were so close. And I did know that I was kind of pissed because they were totally on track for making the 8 laps and I really wanted to see it.
Absolutely.
But I don't blame Ramforce, I blame Hands Off. This is their fault. You took that away from me.
Absolutely. So, the we have another contest.
We sure do.
And this is... I think this is more fun.
You talk about Season 1 Robot Wars Robots.
Say it.
Get ready to open Pandora's Box.
This is a real junkyard dog. It's an articulated robot. The front wheels are wheelchair wheels. They literally threw the kitchen sink at this robot.
Are they Victorian pram wheels?
No, that's too good for them. I mean, this, it's just... what on earth is this?
Okay. Whew. Let's regroup. And their opponent, Solar Flare!
Solar Flare looks like something out of modern BattleBots. It's brilliant looking. It's a wedge robot with a flamethrower!
There you go.
I've never got the flamethrower thing. I get it with Sergeant Bash because it looks spectacular. I've never got it in a competitive robot.
It's kind of the thing of if you can burn up the internals of a robot, but obviously you need to get the flamethrower in the right place. So like Gruff has a great idea with it because its flamethrowers are so concentrated and so.
Yeah.
That they can burn up probably internals in a good couple of seconds because their flames are so intense. But and then also there's the rebuilt complete control that was in like the first season of the reboot where you could hold them in place and then just douse them in flames.
Yeah.
Like and they
Well actually I think it's one of the I can't remember, there is someone there is someone in this series who ends up helping make Complete Control's flamethrower system.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who it is. But they do it.
You said do.
So, anywho.
Anywho. We get on to the Speedway.
So, the Speedway, this isn't fast. Particularly when you've just had the single most impressive run of the series so far. This just... Look, it doesn't help. The commentator is spending the whole time... Ahmed Zappa is just spending the whole time ragging on these two robots.
Or, like, the slow way.
I do like, as well... Every time these any two robots touch each other, he ejaculates.
Oh, I want a hint!
I mean, it's... You do you, pal. Whatever floats your boat. But yeah, it is crazy. And so, what, it takes 20-odd seconds for Isla Robot to get a lap. And it's Solar Flare just gets a final lap, and that's the only reason that there's a... I mean, it's five laps between them. It's not exactly... This could have done with an editor.
Even Zappa at the end of this race says himself, "The battle of the slowpokes is over."
Oh, it's absolutely.
Solar Flare gets three laps, which gives it 50 points. Pandora's Bot gets two laps for 20 points. Let's move on.
Yep, so we get the team. We get a look at the Team Force, and they do portray them as quite confident. The issue is, it tips over to, as it gets later in the series, it's almost like it's edited in such a way that they come across as very dismissive. They don't even talk about certain, you know, they're almost talking past their opponents before they've even faced them. They're going, "Oh, no, we're already thinking about the grand final." And it's, I don't know how much of it is editing and I don't know how much is arrogance. I'm going to side more on the side of editing. Because certainly from listening to the interview you did with Andrew Lindsay, he doesn't strike me as a supremely arrogant guy.
No, totally not.
So that's... I do think it's an editing thing, but it is...
I think there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. And yeah. I think it's coming off more on the term of confidence here.
Meanwhile, whilst that's happening, we get details. It turns out that Hands Off was actually overweight.
Yes. Very overweight.
Yeah, it's this team is not having a lot of luck.
Yeah, because were they the team that said, like, "Oh, we had to take so long shaving off like half the size of the robot that we had like practically no time learning how to drive it?"
And it shows in the maze. And the gauntlet, but we'll get to that. So Ram Force absolutely flies through this. It doesn't, I mean, the only thing it has a difficulty with the final ramp. It has to take multiple run-ups to get up the ramp. But other than that, it makes it look fairly easy.
Even to the point where it's on the speed bumps and then it drives forward, kind of stalls, but then manages to back up to avoid a guillotine shot.
Yeah, it's... on the other hand, Hands Off fights a ramp and loses.
Yep. Yeah, because as you said, it kind of gets stuck on the waterfall ramp, and as I said, there's that little lip there, and I think it was just the ground clearance. You just needed to get it at the right angle, so it just kind of kept bump, bump, bump. Way, there you go, there it is. That's what you were looking for.
So it means that out of a potential 200 points, Ram Force is sitting on 190. Mm-hmm. And Hands Off is sitting at 20.
Getting no points from that last event.
Yeah. I mean, at least their armor's staying on, which is more you can say for Pandora's Bot. I have to say, watching the video about Pandora's Bot, the team seem naive about what they're up against. Almost the way it comes across is like they almost seem to think they're on Scrap Heap Challenge. Speaking of which, we should do a Scrap Heap Challenge podcast. I think we've talked about this before, but we should do it. On the other hand, Solar Flare is immediately going, "We have a flamethrower. We need to be worried about the water."
Yes, you should.
So, We do get some details of how the robot's built. Apparently they did have a few issues just getting it all together, though not as many issues as both teams have with the ramp.
Yes, and Pandora's bots kind of, hello, this is our robot. He has a god screensaver.
A what?
A god screensaver. There's a part where he sits down next to his computer and there's just a photo of God floating about his screen. And there's a lot of church stuff, and it's like, well, you know, I'm sure religion is important. It's not my thing, but you know, I can't say that, like, even if I was like into religion that much, I would have God as my screensaver. But I mean, that's just me.
I think it's as long as you're not hurting people, that's always my
exactly. That's why I'm not, like, exactly making fun of it. It's just that I'm just bringing it up.
Yeah. So.
Also, he has a very adorable cat, which is, you know, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Probably every cat that gets referenced, like little box cat that from BattleBots. Oh. Little robot cat. Remember Robot Cat? From BattleBots. The little cat where it's like his back wheels wouldn't work, so they built a little robot for it so they could like work out to get around, and it was for ages. It just spat around in a circle because it couldn't figure out how to go back. Oh, robot cat.
Oh, buddy.
Oh.
So.
It hurts so much because I have cats, and it's like, oh no, don't die, never die.
So. Anywho. After both getting over the ramps, though, and they do eventually, it's... What ends up happening is, to be fair, both robots end up getting up the water ramp. Solar Flare gets there first.
Yes.
And then they have a bit of afters, which is nice. They actually see a little bit of, kind of like, oh, Squirtle, come on, then!
Wow, that was the most Scottish thing you've ever said in your life. Like, I always prided myself on not being stereotypical Scottish, but Jesus Christ.
Fucking square go, mate.
Fucking square go, you cunt.
That is the least Scottish you cunt I've ever heard.
Alright. But I will give Pandora's bot credit, because, yeah, I've been making fun of it the entire episode. Hey? I mean, you can't argue with result. It got there. Okay, it got there last, but like it probably got the most amount of points that you could probably get.
So it means that Solar Flare's on 150 to...
Pandora Bots A.
80. And then we get to the gauntlet.
Yep. Oh, and I remember that you sent me a message about this before I had seen it. So why don't you take this one away? Sorry, I had them in the wrong order. So, we have...
Arm Force versus
Hands Off
in the gauntlet.
I am going to take a step away. I'm going to put the mic on mute for a moment.
Okay. Three, enjoy your pee.
Two, and one. Here we go.
So, Ram Force does absolutely wonderfully, flies through, doesn't hesitate, ends up getting 290 points out of possible 300. Not only that, it's a modular design, it's built to be rebuilt quickly. It is wonderful, it is probably the best overall robot in the competition in terms of planning, in terms of setup. I had to pause this video when watching it, because the second I realised that Hands Off had missed the glass and was stuck, I had to pause the video and laugh for 5 minutes. I actually had someone coming in and checking on me because of the amount of... I was starting to get into the level of laughter. I was struggling to breathe. Hands Off literally did more damage to me than it did to the gauntlet.
The glass. The glass. Literally the weakest part of the gauntlet.
The bit that no other robot, literally the only other robot that didn't get through the glass didn't do so because it wasn't there.
And even then, probably from the pits area, probably would have still done more damage.
I mean, it's just... It's nuts.
No, it's not nuts, because nuts could probably drive through the glass.
So, we get Solar Flare versus Pandora's Bot.
Right, Ram Force 290.
Hands Off 20.
20.
Now, one thing that you realise the second you look at Pandora's Bot, and you notice that it leads, the first two contact areas are its ginormous thin wheels.
Uh-huh.
And you just look at it and you just go, that's not going to work.
Nope. So it goes in backwards.
It goes in backwards. It has to take two attempts at the glass.
But at least it smashes it.
And by the time Solar Flare's at the safe, Pandora's Bot decides that it needs to remind Alan of something very special. It gets its pièce de résistance on!
Well, no, because it makes it through the cans. I guess Pandora's Bot was supercharged.
Yes.
Because it made it through the cans, and you know what? Probably made much more of an impact on the wall than Pièce de Résistance ever did.
You take that back.
I don't need to, you just need to look at the facts. Pandora's Box was very close to knocking down that wall, whereas Pièce de Résistance just went,
dink.
Wasn't even a dink.
It's...
I think two or three more shows, Pandora's Bot, would have got at least knocked over the wall. May not go over the wall, but you know what? It was more than Pièce de Résistance ever did, which is now why I need to have Pandora's Box versus Pièce de Résistance.
Absolutely. So, Solar Flare is victorious, winning 250 to 110, which credit to it, Pandora's Box got 110, which is not the worst score.
Absolutely not. Again, made fun of it this entire episode, but it's not the worst.
So, it is Solar Flare versus Ram Force.
The fight to the finish.
This is brutal. Because you see...
Solar Flare done decently for the first, 20 seconds of this match. 30 seconds, maybe? The thing that I would argue is the fact that it's its flamethrower is pointing the wrong way. It's pointing upwards.
Yeah.
So even if you scooped under it, the flame would do absolutely nothing. However, taking all that away, all it took was for Ramforce to get in the right place, so much that it not only did it catch Solar Flare's ramp on the edge of the box, or on the edge of the guardrail, when the guardrail dropped, it was still stuck.
I mean, it's all that the whole time, it's just away and smash, and away and smash. I mean, it's trying to break Solar Flare in half.
Had I not seen all three seasons of this before, I would say this was the worst damage that was ever legitimately dealt in Robotica. I can't officially say that. So what I can say is, at this point, this is the most actual legitimate damage dealt in Robotica.
Absolutely.
To this point. And maybe this entire season. Because Solar Flare's scoop was bent and buckled and almost practically ripped entirely apart of the robot before it finally gave up and went over.
Oh, it was. It was just absolutely...
It was grim. It was grim almost.
It was indeed. It was so grim that it created iron ore. So, anyway, after a phenomenal run, Ramforce enters into the grand final and has to be considered one of the clear favourites.
Absolutely. Like, dominated everything that he was in.
So, we have two heats left. What do you know? Next week, we're completing the first round of Robotica.
Let's do it. Robotica style.
Oh, we can't do it Robotica style. We don't have that much cocaine.